Welcome to The Proud Psychologist, the fortnightly podcast that focuses on how LGBTQ peeps can look after and nurture their mental health. Brought to you by me, Carol, an LGBTQ coaching psychologist and hypnotherapist. This podcast will help you learn as well as proactively tend to your mental health. Hello everyone to the first ever episode of The Proud Psychologist. I'm recording this in Pride Month, and that in itself feels really significant. Then consider that this year, 2022, marks 50 years since the first Pride March in London and, albeit long overdue, the first involvement of the British Psychological Society, the BPS, in a Pride March ever. Pride in London is on the 2nd of July, and I will be there marching with up to 49 other BPS members. I can't tell you how happy I was to get the confirmation that I was getting the chance to be a representative for the BPS at their first ever Pride event. I mean, when I saw the BPS using the Pride colours on social media during previous years, I did question, quite openly actually, what they were doing to support the community in the bigger picture. I know you understand this sense of uncertainty and unease when big organisations adopt the flags for 1 month each year with little or no indication of more ongoing support. Well, this year, the BPS have definitely been standing up for and with us. They have been very vocal in the discussions about the conversion therapy ban and how it needs to protect all of us, not just those of us who are cisgender. Okay, so with this being the first episode of The Proud Psychologist, I want to ask the question, why do we need LGBTQ-specific mental health spaces? I've decided to start here because of the questions that I get as an LGBTQ psychologist who works primarily with LGBTQ clients, and because of the participation of the BPS with Pride in London this year. Well, it is a sad and unfortunate fact that simply being LGBTQ leaves people at a greater likelihood of needing mental health support. This is being linked with things such as lived experience of stigma, prejudice, and discrimination, and the knock-on effects that these can have, as well as experiencing internalised homophobia, biphobia, or transphobia, and concerns over hiding parts of one's own identity. In fact, a recent study looking at the experiences of burnt-out American medical students found that lesbian, gay, and bisexual students were significantly more likely to get burnt out than their straight peers, even after controlling for the presence or absence of actual mistreatment. So what this is saying is, you know, even in this group where they, you know, where people were not being mistreated for being LGBTQ, they were still under much more stress than anyone who was straight in the same environment. LGBTQ people are also more likely to experience depression, anxiety, along with other mental health problems. And then add on top of that, that reported incidents of domestic abuse are higher for gay and bisexual men when compared to straight men, and higher for bisexual and trans women when compared to straight women. Lesbians appear to report about the same rate as straight women. So, knowing all of this, it breaks my heart that even today the mainstream mental health services in the developed world are typically ill-prepared and ill-equipped to make sure that they are meeting the needs of the LGBTQ people who they come into contact with. Some of the time with the mainstream services in the UK, it is simply a lack of education on how the experience of LGBTQ people differs from those of straight people, or how this can affect why they're needing to access these services. Other times, however, the professionals use their position of authority and power to pathologize the identities and orientations of the LGBTQ people they are supposed to be helping. This is why the legislation currently being debated in the UK government about banning conversion therapy is so important, and why I fully support the BPS having a presence at Pride in London, the same year that they are making such a strong stand for us. Because even though there has been great progress in shifting social attitudes towards acceptance, especially among the younger generations, there are still practicing mental health professionals who will cause more harm to the LGBTQ people they come into contact with. I had direct experience of attempts to pathologize my sexuality as a teenager, and it is a point I am extremely passionate about. As a result of that, I didn't actually speak in ways that revealed my orientation in any sessions when I was seeking support for myself for a great number of years, actually. No one should have to navigate that when they are already needing to access mental health support. And I do feel that having openly LGBTQ coaches, therapists, psychologists, etc., just makes it easier for anyone who is LGBTQ or is even just questioning whether they are to access the appropriate support and guidance with significantly less stress. Most of the mainstream services are built on a medical model, which, you know, focuses purely on the presence of illnesses, diseases, etc. And these are obviously diagnosed through the identification of symptoms, where, you know, the professionals have the power in this relationship, and the people they're supposed to be helping are patients with less power. And this is so much, I think there's been a shift in like physical healthcare in developed countries where doctors are supposed to be sort of trying to meet us as peers in a sort of more egalitarian way. But in the mental health fields, it's very, very obvious that there is this power imbalance. And also, it's not a foolproof method for diagnosing, especially with mental health issues, and plenty of misdiagnoses do happen. And this is how some professionals will justify their pathologizing of LGBTQ experiences. Because there's overlap and they can sometimes bring in their own biases and prejudices and twist things. So they say, well, you're telling me you're bisexual, so you clearly are not, you don't have a stable sexual identity. Therefore, that fits this item here on the symptom checklist. You know, that's kind of how they go about some of this stuff. Ultimately, though, a diagnosis is just a form of shorthand for communicating difficulties someone may face in broad strokes. Much like how the terms lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, asexual, and aromantic only give broad stroke descriptions of people, and there are plenty of other more specific identifiers that we use to describe ourselves as well. It also must be highlighted that there is a whole space between mental illness and mental health. So just because you don't have depression, a diagnosed anxiety disorder, bipolar, or any other kind of mental illness, doesn't necessarily mean that you're the epitome of good mental health. Consider the physical equivalent. The absence of physical illness does not actually translate into an example of good physical health. So when we're talking about mental health, I argue that we need to be moving away from the diagnosis talk and more towards genuine sharing of this is how I feel and what I experience. One of the core things that is needed in these spheres is acceptance. If I'm not accepting of my clients, they're not going to open up to me, and that then turns what could have been a fantastic opportunity for them to grow, heal, and make amazing changes into, at best, a waste of time. When acceptance is there, we see clients grow, heal, and flourish. The acceptance is what allows feelings, thoughts, beliefs, and values to be brought out into the light and embraced or changed. It really is one of the main ingredients of successful therapy and coaching. An openly LGBTQ professional or a service that is openly supportive of the LGBTQ community is a beacon to those who need to be sure of that acceptance from the very start. When people are actually allowed to be themselves, love who they love, and have their experiences accepted as valid, a lot of the distress that some of these diagnoses capture is eased. This allows for people to actually address the things which are causing them issues or preventing them from improving further, rather than the things that the professional believes are the cause. By opening the discussion up to include everyone with and without diagnoses, we can start moving everyone closer to that state of good mental health and away from the concept that simply not being mentally ill is good enough. So yes, that is why I so firmly believe that LGBTQ specific mental health spaces are required. What do you think? Do you see the value in it, or are you leaning more towards another option? Have you had experiences of mental health services as an LGBTQ person you would like to share? Well, please let me know. I really love hearing from you all. Details on how to contact me are in the description of this episode. So, yeah, thank you for joining me for my first ever episode. I look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks' time. Thanks. Bye.